The Reverend Dr. J. Philip Wackerman is a longtime educator and faith leader. He had to deal with politics in a very direct way while serving as President Bill Clinton's pastor here in Washington, D.C. Dr. Wackerman is past president of Interfaith Alliance and was there at the organization's founding. I have to tell you, he is a good friend. He actually was the head of the search committee that ended up bringing me to Interfaith Alliance. He's a prolific author, and so even though there are at least a half dozen conversations that I'd love to have with Phil here on State of Belief Radio, I want to focus today on his latest book. The title is What Christians Can Learn from Other Religions, and I'm happy that it brings Phil Wackerman to the studio of State of Belief Radio. Phil, welcome.
Thank you, Welton.
You know, it's an important distinction, learning about other faith traditions versus learning from other faith traditions.
Indeed.
Talk about that difference and why you say it's so important to pursue the latter.
Yes. Of course, you can learn about something that you totally disagree with and are opposed to entirely. And it's a good idea to learn about anything. But learning from other religions means that there are things in various other religions that will be a benefit to you and help you in your own faith journey. I think that would be a good exercise for people in all religions, mm-hmm. to learn from the other religions. Mm-hmm. When I wrote this book and it was published, I hoped the publisher, Westminster John Knox Press, would set up a series with people from other religions who would talk about, mm-hmm. you know, what Buddhists can learn from other religions, mm-hmm. what Hindus can learn from other religions, and so on. Given the publishing industry now, they didn't want to go beyond this one, what Christians can learn. But that is basic to this book. It's the idea that you can look around in other religions, and you can find things that will enhance your own faith.
Mm-hmm. Phil, what do you say to people of faith who are nervous about incorporating anything from other religions into their own belief system, or is that a misinterpretation of your message?
No, that's not, and I know people are nervous about that, and I would expect there are probably numbers of people who would read this book and would completely disagree with the basic premise of the book, mm-hmm. but I think the main thing I would want to say is God is bigger than any of us. Mm-hmm. This universe is hugely larger than any of us, and we all have things to learn. And any religion, any major point of view that is persuasive to people has some truth in it, mm-hmm. and one must be open to whatever that truth may be. Now, that doesn't mean that any religion is entirely without error. I wouldn't say that about my own faith as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Any religious tradition will have some kind of mixture of truth and error, mm-hmm. Goodness and evil, mm-hmm. and whatever else. But we can learn from the good.
This is a really broad question, and we could spend the whole rest of the thing on this. But what's the most pressing manifestation of a lack of understanding among faiths in the world today?
Well, of course, one could lead to a number of things, but there is so much conflict that has been generated by religious differences. And that's hard to sort out, because sometimes what appears to be a religious conflict is more a political conflict or some other motivation which is given a religious flavor, mm-hmm. or guise. Mm-hmm. But right now, of course, people in America and Europe are really concerned about what's going on in Islam. And a whole lot of misunderstanding there. Islam does have a lot of baggage, mm-hmm. but of course we do too.
Yes, yes.
And one of the main points I've tried to make in this book is don't compare the best of your own faith with the worst of somebody else's.
Yes. Phil, you focus in this book on what Christians can learn. I want to ask you, why is that? But I want to preface that question by saying, having grown up in a West Tennessee fundamentalist church, the people that I respected early in my life told me We couldn't learn anything from anybody else because we had all the truth. The way you come at it is far more humble and far more open. And talk about the importance of that, if you will.
Oh, I think that's terribly important. None of us has all the answers. And to operate as if you had all the answers with a closed mind is to shut yourself off from the leading of God and the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
God has much more to say to us in a whole variety of ways than a closed mind would allow for.
What do you hope that other Christians will learn from a study of other religions?
Well, I think something from each of them. And there are a variety of things. What I might learn from Hinduism wouldn't necessarily be the same thing I'd learn from Islam or from Jainism. I even have a chapter in this book about what you can learn from atheism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way I would define religion, atheism almost qualifies. It's not the religion that I would hold as a whole,
mm-hmm.
but I think one can learn from it. But one can learn different things from the different faith traditions. And every time I pick up the sacred scriptures of another faith tradition, I pick up something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me be very specific here, just because we face such bias toward Islam.
Yes.
What could you learn as a Christian? What could you learn from Islam?
Well, let me cite two things in particular. One of them is Islam is distinctly monotheistic. There is one God. I think maybe Muslims could lead us to come clean about what we really believe about the Trinity. And in Christian tradition, Trinity does not mean three separate gods. But the rhetoric of Christians often implies that,
mm-hmm.
as though there were three separate gods. There's only one God. And the best way, I think, to conceive of the Trinity is God is expressed in three different ways, and really more than three ways.
Mm-hmm.
God is expressed through Jesus Christ. God is expressed through the Spirit. God is expressed through creation. That's different from saying that there are three different gods. And the other thing that I think one could pick up from Islam, even though it often is in distorted form, as in the Islamic State that we're concerned about right now, but the idea that since God is one, God is God of all humanity, and therefore we should not treat any loyalty short of our loyalty to humanity as a whole as being final and definitive. And that means the universal community. Now, I don't like the way that appears in some Muslim literature,
yes.
but I think for us to be committed to the universal human community, much more important than being totally committed and totally loyal and worshiping our own country
mm-hmm.
or our own family, not to say our own race or right. anything of that sort, but to have that universal sense. I think those two things strike me immediately about Islam that we can pick up with and interpret in our own way, of course.
I'm talking with Dr. Phil Wagaman, who has written just a marvelous book about what we can learn from other religions as Christians, and I say that because both he and I are from the Christian religion. But you also make the point that you'd like for other people to study your faith just as you're studying other people's faith. And I'm curious as to what you would want followers of other faiths to learn from Christianity. What is it most important yes. they learn from Christianity?
Yes, I felt it was important to add a chapter in the book that what I hope other people might learn from Christianity. The book is not an attempt to convert other people to Christianity, but I think a chapter of that sort was in mm-hmm. order here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two or three things. Most basic of all, to echo the Apostle Paul, why grace is more important than law. Law is important, but if law is considered the most important thing, then that easily slips into legalism. And that's a form of faith that denies the Spirit. But As Paul spoke about grace, what that really means is the love of God is the primary reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it, if we are have faith in the love of God expressed in grace, which we see in Jesus Christ, then we must love other people. That we're led in response to that mm-hmm. to love other people. Mm-hmm. And then two or three other more practical things. I think the Christian community over the last century or two has given leadership in ecumenical matters with the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches, and other councils of churches. Some other religions are beginning to do that kind of thing, but maybe they could learn some of the possibilities there. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I would say to learn from the at least two centuries of serious biblical scholarship, which no holds barred, looks honestly and seriously at Christian scripture, mm-hmm. and you know, to ask where documents came from, by what authors, at what times, what purpose. An honest look at our scripture probably helps in the long run to deepen our faith. It doesn't weaken our faith.
Yeah, that's well said. What's been the response to the book?
You know, well, you're inviting me to tout my own book here, but
yes.
I would say on the whole it's been very positive. I've had numbers of experiences of speaking to church groups and other kinds of groups, including religion teachers, that is, world religions teachers in public schools mm-hmm. and other kinds of settings. Mm-hmm. On the whole, I think it's been very positive, and even the title of the book immediately appeals to a lot of people.
Right.
The idea that we can learn from other religions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Phil, you and I are people that are inquisitive regarding almost everything, and religion fits certainly into one of the categories that we've studied. There are a lot of people who seem to not be inclined to study other people's religions. And this is a more personal question
yes.
than it is academic. But what happened in you that made you want to know about other religions?
You know, that's a very broad and a very searching question, Wilton, and I appreciate it. It's been a long process. I didn't have a fundamentalist background, the mm-hmm. sort that you describe yourself, your mm-hmm. early churches. Mm-hmm. My father was a Methodist pastor. He was, for his time, pretty moderate to liberal in his thinking. He had been educated at Boston University, which was a very open school. And then I think I got some things just viscerally out of that background. And then while studying in college and seminary, I was exposed to other faith traditions. I've always been concerned about truth. I was attracted to philosophy. What is true
mm-hmm.
really matters. And then in seminary, we had a professor named Amya Chakravarti, who was Hindu. He had been a leading figure in Bengalese India. He knew Gandhi very well, mm. and Nehru, and others. And he was a gentle, kind spirit, very open, very tolerant. And that deepened my quest, mm-hmm. looking into other faith traditions. Yeah. And I must say, I've learned a lot out of Hinduism, mm-hmm. not just from him.
When someone reads this book, puts it down, what's the one thing you hope has happened to them?
Well, I could think of more than one thing. One thing, I hope they would do some more reading.
Mm.
This mm-hmm. book is not the last word.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invitation into a journey. And I hope there might be a deeper openness toward other faith traditions and maybe a little more humility about one's own.
The Reverend Dr. J. Philip Wagaman is past president of Interfaith Alliance, former senior minister at Founder United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., and former professor of Christian ethics at Wesley Theological Seminary, Washington, D.C., where he served as dean for more than a decade. Phil was pastor to President Bill Clinton during his White House years and is the author really of numerous books on faith and ethics, most recently The Essential What Christianity Can Learn from Other Religions. Dr. Waagman has written this with the scholarship and the humility that are a part of his very identity. You can learn from this book. You can learn from his thoughts about it. I hope you'll pick up the book and read it. Phil, it's been a real pleasure having you here today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. It's been my privilege.